We're back. It's the Tasty Crypto Show. I'm Ryan Grace, and here with the one, the only, fresh from the desert, Frank Caberna.
I'm back.
Welcome back, sir.
Sorry I missed you last week.
We missed you.
I'm sorry to everyone out there who didn't care, but I'm back, and I'm excited. I'm refreshed.
Yeah.
I feel like I understand decentralized exchanges now in the whole crypto thing.
Okay.
So
good to go.
If anybody out there was wondering, you know, I don't really get this crypto stuff. Go out to Joshua Tree.
Go on a vision quest.
Vision quest.
Yeah.
Take all the, I don't know what the hip, I don't do drugs.
Okay.
But I don't know what the hip drugs are to be taking in the desert right now are.
Peyote is peyote. What I believe you smoke.
Shrooms were cool. No longer cool. We're past that. We're doing peyote. What's the one that like everybody is like, oh, like I have a true out of body experience. It's like some like natural.
Well, there's a lot, Frank.
South American.
I think there's a lot where you can have an out of body experience.
Maybe it's Central America.
Oh, you're talking about like DMT.
No, I'm not.
Talking. Spirit molecule.
That one is
like where you see God.
Yeah, that one's fully. Yeah. This one I think is on the spectrum. It's close to DMT, but not quite there. I can't remember what it is. But either way, didn't take any drugs. Didn't need to understand crypto. Just some time in nature,
and
it all makes sense.
We got to get you on some DMT.
I don't think. There's a reason why I don't do any drugs or even drink anymore. Is because my body's a little bit of a lemon. It can't take those things, right?
Hey, you've been there. You've done that.
I barely take natural life. Like right. Joshua Tree, I almost curled up into a ball. I was like, this place is too. There's too much going on.
Well, it's good to have you back.
Yeah.
We're talking about decentralized exchange here today. We've been discussing liquidity pools for quite some time.
Yes.
We're actually putting a liquidity pool together here.
Yeah.
That we'll revisit on the show, but we've got a group of people on the trade desk. We're going to pool it all together and see what happens.
Very exciting.
But I want to talk about how decentralized exchanges work today, Frank.
Cool.
We're going to connect the Tasty Crypto Wallet to Uniswap, go through how to conduct a swap, and really get into kind of the inner workings, I suppose, to the extent that we can here on the show. But we're not going to talk about providing liquidity. We're going to talk about the decentralized exchange concept itself, which I've dubbed here today, the future of trading.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, this might be a lot, but you know.
I'm excited about this because, we're already, you and I may have not jumped the gun, but we want to show everybody the cool stuff first, which is like, we got this liquidity pool going. You and I and a couple other people are starting another liquidity pool. It's a really cool use of cryptocurrency and a decentralized exchange. But we did, the question still is like, okay, well, where is Tasty Crypto's place in this ecosystem? Where is Uniswap's place in this ecosystem? How do I put on the liquidity pool? Sure, but like, how do I go from cash money that I get from my employer or my investments or my retirement, wherever I get money from or I have money, how do I get from that to a liquidity pool that is, it's really cool, but it's almost like, we're buying and selling strangles and iron condors and all this other stuff. And we didn't show the people how to like.
Yeah, we didn't explain the basics of options.
How to get there.
Yeah.
Or even like how to get on a platform, essentially, you know? And so this will be a really cool. I'm excited because I don't even know most of this stuff because you kind of helped me just to jump straight to liquidity pools.
Yeah, we jumped right in the pool, so to speak, earlier. If you missed any of those episodes, you can go to the Tasty Crypto YouTube channel and check them out. You'll see Frank's smiling face on the video thumbnail. So I definitely recommend checking those out. We walk through Uniswap, how to provide liquidity to the protocol, to the exchange. But we're going to talk about the basics of decentralized exchange here today. Decentralized exchange powers token swaps in the Tasty Crypto wallet. So on Ethereum, you can swap ERC-20 tokens. You can swap ETH for USDC, for example, directly in the app. How does that work? Decentralized exchange.
Okay.
So let's talk about it. And let's start first with the basics. What is a decentralized exchange? Very simply, it's an exchange where you can transact directly without an intermediary.
Okay.
There's no central authority, no third party, right? If I want to trade through Tasty Trade, through listed products on an exchange, I need to connect to the brokerage, and then it's going to facilitate that process. In this case, it's code, and it's on-chain, The process is facilitated by the protocol, the most popular, the biggest one really on Ethereum being Uniswap, but it's peer-to-peer. Mm-hmm. So you just connect your wallet, you interact with the protocol, and you're able to conduct some swaps. And when we talk about it being peer-to-peer, it's not necessarily always going to be me trading with Frank,
sure,
right? Or someone else. Institutions are heavily involved with this, right? In terms of who's providing liquidity to facilitate the exchange. Doesn't necessarily matter for you as the end user, as the trader, but through this process, you're able to directly connect to the exchange and conduct a trade.
And what's really cool about that, because yeah, you might say for maybe 95% of the audience, it's like centralized or decentralized exchange. I don't really care because I just want Tasty Crypto or Tasty Trade or whatever brokerage to essentially offer me access to the New York Stock Exchange or some crypto exchange so I can buy stock or I can buy crypto. But I do want to just hammer on the point that the peer-to-peer part of it and the part of it being code is one, supernatural for this point in time. You know, technology has advanced so much in the last 20, 30 years. Trading has gone to screen. All of these things have advanced, not let alone outside of trading.
Yeah, you think about the evolution from the pits, from open outcry sure. to the screens, as you mentioned, where, you know, obviously TastyTrade plays a huge part in that today. I think this is almost the evolution of it, maybe exactly. What comes next, right?
Yeah. And just a last piece, you bring up the fact that, oh yeah, there are still institutions that are part of these processes, but what's really, really cool and why we have set this all up and why we are both on the show and in our free time looking at these liquidity pools, for example, is, yeah, maybe 99% of the liquidity being provided in the crypto market via these pools and whatnot are institutions. But guess what? I can stand shoulder to shoulder with them very easily using these decentralized exchanges, whereas with the centralized exchanges that a broker or whoever has to give you access to, you only get to do a handful of things. Now, I'm not throwing any shade on Tasty Trade or whatever brokerage because they let you do a lot of really cool
Absolutely.
Things. But here, since it is decentralized and since it is peer-to-peer, you are able to, for example, provide liquidity very, very easily. And you just can't do that on a centralized exchange.
Yeah, there are different ways to make money. One isn't necessarily better than the other. I would argue in terms of efficiency and speed, traditional finance is still much, much better than
100%.
This, right?
Yeah.
This is just interesting to us. It's non-custodial. You plug your wallet in. You can basically run your own brokerage firm on-chain and help facilitate exactly. this process. And then when you want to go home, you unplug your wallet, essentially, and you take all of your crypto with you. In that sense, obviously it's on chain, but it isn't held with a third party. It isn't held with a custodian. You don't have that counterparty risk to an extent. It's probably less relevant for people like you and me where we're trading on TastyTrade versus, you know, somebody that might not have access to TastyTrade or somebody maybe that was using a company like FTX where there was a real risk there, obviously in hindsight, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe it wasn't apparent at the time. But there is something to self-custody and non-custodial setups that I think a lot of people are attracted to. And this is certainly non-custodial. So a little bit different of a setup, a couple different ways that you can participate. It ultimately creates a liquidity layer for any ERC-20 token or really any token. You know, I think what it looks like today, it is going to be a lot different in the future. This hasn't been around that long. I think Uniswap first launched in 2018. You haven't seen a ton of liquidity really come on the scene until about 2021.
Okay.
So it's only been here for a couple of years. It's evolving. It's advancing. There's more liquidity. There's more participation. It's just a little bit of a different setup. And so we're interested in it. There's ways you can make money here. But ultimately, if you want to swap tokens that aren't available through a centralized exchange, this is one of the ways that you can do it.
Very cool.
So let's talk a little bit more now, Frank, about how this works. If it wasn't clear, these exchanges run on a blockchain, predominantly on Ethereum or one of the layer two networks, essentially Ethereum. As I mentioned, you connect your wallet and you're gonna trade assets through liquidity pools. There's no central limit order book here. There are positives and negatives to that. You know, definitely less efficient in some cases, arguably. But instead, that central limit order book is replaced by what's called an automated market maker that uses the liquidity provided by LPs. And as you mentioned, what I think is really cool, anyone can provide liquidity.
And this is
permissionless.
Like a true example of, and I'm not necessarily one of these people, but I understand where this mindset comes from. But if you've ever heard someone talk about like the invisible hand, or some of these like efficient market theories, where it's like, oh man, you know, like or libertarian ideas, for example, where it's like, if you just let a good environment like, you know, trading or something where there's a lot of players involved and they all have certain incentive structures, and there's not maybe like malicious incentive structures that are part of it, it's a good system.
Absolutely.
Let's say it's just a good system. And it's 100% left up to those people and those incentive structures, then supply and demand and everything will meet at an efficient rate. Now, this is one of the best examples of that, given that, yeah, it's decentralized. The access is given to everyone. There is no central order limit, central limit order book. And all these things that like are good for efficiency, but get skewed in a certain party's favor. Now, that being said, it's one of those pure systems for better or worse. Because the flip side of that is, to your point, given that, you know, Uniswap has been around for all of 5 or 6 years, these ideas are still so small and young relative to some of these ideas of centralized exchanges that have been around for a century. And with that, for example, if you're just essentially paying the spread to buy a cryptocurrency, and it is run by these liquidity pools that you and I can jump into, that is run by these automated market makers that don't have these different incentive structures that are, you know, not transparent and that you can't be a part of. With that, if there is no demand, there is no supply, the spread widens out. And for me to buy that cryptocurrency, it's going to cost me more. And so it's one of those things that when it gets rolling for like an ETH or a Bitcoin, I'm sure you especially have seen this evolve over the years.
Yes.
That more people have gotten into the liquidity pools, the spreads have gotten tighter, the cost to do business have gotten better. But if there was a Bitcoin equivalent, let's say, in the last 10 years, that as Bitcoin rose, that equivalent fell, the spreads got wider, being able to trade in that market got more costly and difficult.
I have some good stories I'll have to share from kind of the early days of this when I first got into it, when I first found out about it. I've made every mistake that you can make.
Great.
But the important thing is that you learn from it, right? Before we talk about the liquidity pools and how this works exactly, I want to show you how to connect to the Uniswap app with the Tasty Crypto wallet here. So if we throw up our browser for just a second and jump off of the slides, we've got the Uniswap platform pulled up, and we're going to look at the swap interface. I've got the Tasty Crypto app installed. So if we can throw the browser up here, we'll click on this and show you in just a second.
But yeah, I hope I didn't go too far.
Oh no, you can never go too far. I don't know if we can throw the browser up or not.
Hey guys, if we could change to the browser, we've got the slides up.
Otherwise, we can keep going through our slides here. But, well, I don't know. Let's jump back to the slides here for a second.
Sure.
So we will show you how to connect in a moment. But, here we go. Awesome. So here is the Uniswap app, the website. You click on launch app or click the app, and then you're going to see this interface. And this is where before we've gone through, we've showed how to provide liquidity by setting up a pool. Here we're going to take a look at the swap functionality, just so everybody knows what we're talking about. But when I say you just connect your wallet, it's permissionless and you're able to participate, here's how you do it. So in the upper right corner, with any decentralized application that you're going to interact with, you'll likely see a connect button. You click on that. Now, we're not yet one of the apps that pops up here. You can see a few very familiar names, But in order to connect to the Tasty Crypto wallet, you need to click on Wallet Connect. That's the service or the API that we use. And then you can copy that code by just clicking on the copy link. And now in the upper right corner, we've got the browser extension. Let me just log back into this really quickly. And then once we do that, we're going to connect to Uniswap. And when you connect to Uniswap, it reads what's held at your wallet address, okay. And it's going to allow you then to interact with it.
And so I've at this point, though, I've opened my Tasty Crypto account.
You don't even really open an account. Just have the piece of software, either on your phone or in your browser here. You've created a wallet address. You've recovered or saved your recovery phrase, your seed phrase. Okay. If you already have a seed phrase, you use with a different wallet, you can have this imported into numerous wallets at once. This is just a front-end client software. Yep. And then once you've done that, then effectively you have kind of created the account or you set it up in a sense. And so when you do that, you log in, you create the password for the piece of software itself. It's not connected to any centralized database. There's positives and negatives to that. You can't call us up and we can recover your password for you. But
the controls
nobody has
hands.
Access to it either. You know.
And then just to be abundantly clear, I can, in Google Chrome or whatever web browser I use, I can add the Tasty Crypto extension.
Yes.
And that's when that shows up in the top right corner there. I click that, I do what you're doing right now, which is take the information from my Tasty Crypto and essentially
What you're using the software for is just establishing the connection between the protocol, in this case between Uniswap and our app. So we've connected the wallet. You can see now here when we look at the Uniswap interface, it's going to read what's in here. So we have with Tasty Crypto, we have a connection to the Bitcoin blockchain. This is clearly with Uniswap, it's only on Ethereum, so we're not going to see the Bitcoin in there, but you're going to see the balances of other tokens you have. I've got a couple random things here. But once you've established that connection and you're interacting with the Uniswap interface, if you decide to connect to Uniswap, it reads the balance in your wallet address. So let's just say that I have ETH and I want to swap it into USDC.
Okay.
You can do this directly in the wallet application, or you can connect to a protocol like Uniswap or any decentralized exchange that you like, and you can participate that way. So there's a variety of ways that you can swap tokens. But if we have some ETH here, we've got spot 056. Let's just punch in 0.025. So it's about $80 worth of ETH. If we want to swap it into USDC, you can see there's going to be a little bit of slippage. So we're looking at 79.36 versus 79.12. There is a fee that's charged, and we know that that fee goes to those liquidity providers. In this case, it's 5 basis points on this pool. There is a network fee as well, and so you can see that the network fee, it went a little bit lower. But if I hit swap and then confirm swap, very similar to confirm and send, it's going to load this up. It'll pull up my browser extension.
Oh, cool.
And I actually want to hold on to the ETH, so we're not going to swap it entirely. But this will load, and it'll give you the network fee. It'll show you what your trade looks like, and then ultimately you're going to go through and then confirm that and conduct the swap.
And what's really cool about this, especially, you highlight the different fees. And if you go back and look at, because in the same place in Uniswap and using the same things that Ryan just did, you can also, in the pool functionality, be providing liquidity. And that piece that Ryan alluded to where it's like, this fee that I'm paying, it goes to the liquidity providers. That no longer is like some opaque being that is somewhere else.
Yeah, it's really the other side of how this all works, right? You can only swap tokens where there's liquidity for those tokens. So it has to be provided. You can see the depth of those pools. If there isn't liquidity there, then there's nothing you can buy or sell into, right?
Not only that, but you can also be, in theory, paying yourself. Right. Like it is it's so rare. And I feel like, Tasty Trade was one of these entities that introduced this idea of like, not only can you buy your stock and then try to make money off of having bought it and being long, but you can also in a certain way trade these options around it and provide liquidity.
Reduce your cost basis.
Reduce your cost basis around your stock position. And this is the same as that. It's like, man, if I'm buying, a few thousand dollars worth of ETH and I want to add to that every month and I'm paying a fee to do that every month, And I have a pool going in the background that's maybe 10% or 20% the size of my ETH position, then I am literally hedging that position in real time. And the fees that I'm paying and everybody's paying for that pair are going to me. It's like a covered call. It's just cool to have these different ways in this ecosystem.
Yeah,
to reduce your cost basis, or
you could generate a little bit of yield that, in some cases, can offset, you know, some of the delta risk that you might have when you hold something like ETH.
Yeah.
I've been doing this for a while, and I'm glad that we can finally bring it to the masses.
Yeah. Here and on the show. It's really, I mean, that was pretty quick and simple to be able to link the accounts, and I mean, the swap functionality is mainly used for investing or trading, right? Like you're trying to get long or close a position or put on a short-term swing or day trade, right?
Yeah, think about it like this. And, you know, this is only going to get better and cheaper when you use layer two. So we're connected to Polygon right now. We've got Base coming. We've got Solana. Not that that's an ETH layer two, completely different blockchain, but much cheaper to transact on.
Okay.
It's only going to get cheaper. It's only going to get easier. It's only going to get faster as this technology evolves. And we've seen that, you know, on a year-to-year basis, really. And so I think you're going to see a lot more activity. You're going to see a lot more users come to this. You can do this directly in the wallet application, whether it's on your phone or in the browser extension. You don't have to connect to MetaMask. We're going to source liquidity from MetaMask at times. We use a decentralized exchange aggregator in the wallet, so it'll look at the prices across all the centralized exchanges and then route the order in the, you know, most efficient way possible. Cool. So you do have to pay gas fees in ETH. We've got a couple questions in the YouTube comments here in the chat, but there's a lot that's going to be improved, right? It's still kind of early here. We're still making a lot of updates to our platform and adding more features, but I'm very excited about the direction that things are going in. So you can do this again in the wallet, or you can connect to Uniswap. If we jump back over to the slides, we've got a couple more things that I want to just cover off. We've talked about how this works a bit previously on the shows, right? How these pools provide liquidity, what happens. I want to sell ETH for USDC. I'm basically depositing ETH or selling ETH. I'm buying dollars. So the amount of ETH in the pool is going to go up. The amount of dollars in the pool is going to go down. Simple supply and demand, and just obviously the function of the market, you're going to see the ETH USDC price decrease if everybody's selling ETH and buying dollars as a result. So that's how it works. It's important, again, to understand that this is real. This is powered by code or smart contracts. So these are powered by liquidity pools. I'm not going to read everything that's up here on the screen, but this is all governed by smart contracts. This is governed by code. And one of the things to be aware of is this constant product formula. So it's X times Y equals K, which is the constant. And this is where we're going to get prices, or where the price is going to be derived from as these pools rebalance. So this all happens automatically. Again, there's no intermediary. There's no third party. You are interacting with a protocol. You have to trust the technology, but you don't have to trust another company or a counterparty sense.
And I think, you know, I know you want to cover the formula here, but I do think it makes sense to take a second for you to highlight, like, a lot of people at home being like, oh, you want me to trust, like, the code or these smart contracts that this thing gets done. Could you highlight just really quickly, what is the middleman that is standing as here?
Ethereum.
That code. Okay. And for the people at home, that's just replacing essentially a company, a group of people
who
don't necessarily have your best interests.
You can look at the code. You can look at the smart contracts. This has been audited. It's been running for quite some time. The settlement layer is essentially Ethereum, and it's simply just math. Right? Like, it's easy. I shouldn't say it's easy. You've got to dig into the weeds a little bit, but you can understand how this works. It's not a black box. And there's nothing that's hidden here.
In the traditional finance space, it's more hidden to you, but also the people who are pushing the buttons and everything are dealing with code and algorithms in the same way. It's just kind of cutting some of the human elements out of it. And again, it's not like those financial institutions that are the middlemen that this code is replacing are like the most, you know, kind and looking out for you.
Yeah, not necessarily. I mean, everybody's kind of in it for themselves in terms of the business here. But when you think about this as an open source internet protocol, and you want to see how this works, the formula is very simple. X times Y equals K, constant product formula. I won't spend the time to go through all of this. You can certainly check the math. But when the pool rebalances, or if I put ETH into it and take USDC out, what would the value of that USDC be? Or how much do we have to have of each token left in the pool and at what price? And there's some arbitrage opportunities that, you know, very quickly these things are kind of arbed away if they appear. But this is the formula. I would encourage everybody that's interested in this to look into it a little bit more. And just to call out CryptoPsych 007 in the live chat, just a quick question. So I can on-ramp with a KYC, then buy USDC only to swap for whatever on Uniswap. And that's really what, yes. I mean, the answer to that is yes. But what we're working towards at TastyTrade is exactly that. You have this exchange functionality. So TastyTrade offers four different tokens right now. We're talking about the Ethereum blockchain. So you have ETH, you transfer it on-chain. If there's something else that you want to buy, I think I had in my wallet, I had Lyra, I had VR, I had a couple other tokens that just aren't available through the brokerage, then you have access to them through a decentralized exchange. Really have access to anything. You're seeing a lot of meme coins pop up, whether it's on Solana or it's on Base. Clearly, there was a lot previously on Ethereum. So constant product formula right here on the screen. And then the last slide that I want to just hit on really quickly, Rick Ross, obviously. But how do LPs get paid, right? You talked about the incentive mechanism at the beginning of this, Frank. This is an opportunity to effectively run your own brokerage firm 24/7 on a blockchain. I love that. You stake capital in a liquidity pool. You receive a portion of the fees, right? Those fees, when we conduct that swap as a trader, I'm going to pay a fee. I might pay 5 basis points. It's going to go to the liquidity providers that are facilitating that transaction in aggregate, right? And so that's how you make money as an LP. There's nothing kind of hidden about this. There's nothing secretive in that sense. You know, you think about the risks. This is not risk-free either. We've never said any, you know, we would not, you know, ever say that. A lot of risks like there are with anything. But your risks are price risk and impermanent loss. We've talked about impermanent loss as opportunity costs. If you're in ETH USDC, it's going to be a little bit different if you're in two different volatile cryptocurrencies in your pair. But like when you think about what's the difference between providing liquidity in ETH USDC pool versus just holding ETH, well, your downside risk is the same. It's ETH. It's the cryptocurrency price risk. Your upside is very similar to a covered call.
Sure.
If I'm providing liquidity within a specific range and that price goes to the upside out of the range, I am going to miss out on that potential appreciation, right? It's compared to what if I just held ETH and it went up to $5,000 versus I'm providing liquidity in a $3,000 to $3,500 range, right? It's like a covered call.
And what's I appreciate your point of like, of course, This all involves risk. Like providing liquidity is not a free trade. It's not like, oh, I put $100 in and I get the fees every day. You do have the downside risk of you're getting paid essentially in crypto. And if the market moves lower, you're going to be long 100% crypto, similar to, a covered call or whatever. But what's really cool, man, is there's risk to all these different parts, but I can take risk in a multitude of ways, the ways that I want to take,
yes,
as opposed to the one way, which is buy it and hope it goes up. Same as people who went from stock to options. It's like, oh, okay, if I buy Apple versus sell a strangle on Apple, I still have risks that vary in different ways, but I can choose, though. I could just sell a put. I could just sell a call. I could buy the shares and sell a call. It's so cool to have different risk appetites. And this is all on different tokens as well, different pairs. You can choose the way you want to set up your risk to reward ratios there. Yeah. And we can all be, there are, of course, bigger Rick Rosses in the liquidity provider game than us. Huge institutions, big Rick Rosses. But we get to be at least a small Rick Ross with our small little stake there in the liquidity pools.
It's hell great. Yeah, Frank. I think this fits within a portfolio, stocks, options, futures, crypto, multi-strat kind of approach to DeFi and crypto. We've got it all here at Tasty. So excited, really excited about the feedback in the chat today. So thank you everybody for watching. Thanks for tuning in. Make sure to come back on Wednesday with Mad Mike. He'll be back. He's on a boat somewhere. But hopefully he's back on Wednesday. Until then, I'm Ryan.
Frank.
Peace.
Peace.
The content of this podcast is created, produced, and provided solely by Tasty Life, Inc. and does not represent the direct views or opinions of any of its affiliated companies. This content is for informational and educational purposes only. It is not, nor is it intended to be, trading or investment advice or a recommendation that any security, futures contract, digital asset, other product, transaction, or investment strategy is suitable for any person. Trading securities, futures products, and digital assets involve risk and may result in a loss greater than the original amount invested. Tasty Live Inc., through its content, financial programming, or otherwise, does not provide investment or financial advice or make investment recommendations. The information provided may not be appropriate for all investors and is provided without respect to individual investor financial sophistication, financial situation, investing time horizon, or risk tolerance. Tasty Live Inc. is not a licensed financial advisor, registered investment advisor, registered broker-dealer, or registered